streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The FBI is investigating possible terrorism in a New Year's Day attack in New Orleans. Sources tell CBS News a man wearing camouflage and body armor when he rammed his pickup truck into a crowd of people on Bourbon Street, killing 10 and injuring at least 35. CBS's Katie Weiss.
First responders trying to render aid to them, to help them in any way they could. I saw people getting put onto stretchers, taken to hospitals.
City Councilman Oliver Thomas.
Of the officers who were involved in stabilizing or neutralizing the threat, two are there being treated for their injuries.
The suspect is identified, according to CBS News, as Shamsuddin Jabbar. He was killed in a shootout with police. FBI profiler Mary Ellen O'Toole.
This is someone that put a lot of planning and thoughtfulness into carrying out this in the most lethal and sensational way.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin as they can get tangled up in equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in recycling as they can cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. The sniffles, sneezes, coughs, and wheezes could be coming your way. It is cold and flu season, after all. Are you taking your over-the-counter medication properly? Brittany Merlot reports.
Got that common winter cold coming on? You should know that there are common mistakes happening when people pick up over-the-counter medicines.
Patients at times may not read the labels or know what the active ingredients are in each medication.
That's Stetson Petrikis, an Aspirus pharmacy resident. He said that sometimes people are taking two different products with the same ingredients in them, which doubles the dose and may increase side effects.
It is best to talk to your doctor when, say, if you have a cough, if you've been trying to treat it over the counter and it's been about a week and then the cough gets worse, let your provider know.
He says read the label and make sure it's not a combination product.
Sports bring a lot into the Wisconsin economy, and basketball is no different. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Bucks are a multi-billion dollar operation. A recent NBA franchise valuation report reveals the Bucks rank 19th in the NBA with a value of $3.9 billion. The valuation is way up from a $550 million purchase price in 2014.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
The Bucks beat the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks struggled in the first half, but were able to pull out a 120-112 win on the road over the Indiana Pacers. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in the second half.
Well, you know, at halftime, I thought offensively we didn't play well. I thought we took pretty much bad shots. We turned the ball over, and then the wide open shots we had, we didn't make, and we were down 11. And so I'm thinking at halftime, like, this game can go our way still. I thought the zone turned the game around for us, obviously, defensively. And I thought we fell into two sets, that our spread and our angle, where we spaced the floor open so we can go downhill and make plays. And I thought our passing improved in the second half. And once we start passing to each other, we kept scoring.
College hoops. Number 8th-ranked Marquette beat Providence 78-50 in Rhode Island. Cam Jones with 18 points and 10 assists for the Golden Eagles. NFL, the Packers back at practice, preparing to host the Bears on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Happy New Year. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A colder start to 2025 with mostly cloudy skies, but on the breezy side as well, with temperatures falling into the lower 20s by late in the day. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low near 14. Partly sunny on Thursday with a high near 21. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
stars, the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer. It is Wednesday, the 1st of January, 2025. Happy New Year, everybody. And welcome into the show, Mr. Zommers. Happy New Year to you. How you doing?
Doing well. You know, it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite.
It is. Thank you for putting that in there. I got caught up with the celebration of the day. Yes, it is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great day to be anywhere today as we start off and kick off this new year together. Happy to have you along here just after 12 noon here across the state of Wisconsin. In full disclosure, we're recording this a couple of days in advance so that we can be hanging out with friends and family on New Year's Day proper, but we have a big show for you lined up today talking about New Year's Day resolutions a little bit. Also going to preview some of the bowl games happening, one of which is happening right now. But first of all, let's go out to Southern California on this first day of January. There's a chill in the air in Wisconsin, but there are memories of days gone by which are warmer. Welcome to the 136th Rose Parade, sponsored by Honda. Wouldn't it be great if we were there? That is the theme, of course, to the Rose Parade, the Tournament of Roses Parade out in Southern California, which just concluded here this noon hour. And we bring on to talk about the Rose Parade, the Rose Bowl, and anything else you want to talk about. The one, the only, Ms. Heather Albaugh Galloy, who happens to also be my sister. Happy New Year, Heather.
Happy New Year, Todd. Happy New Year, Aaron.
There you go.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
How are you? Are you hungover this morning? This afternoon?
Not too bad. Not, you know. We're taking it low key today.
That's good. Did we play the did we have a team in the Zommers one? Did we have a team the Never Gonna Give Me Ups?
Never Gonna Quiz You Up.
Yeah, Never Gonna Quiz You Up. Did that
never
happen?
Never Gonna Quiz You Up. We did, and we took first place, Todd.
No, we did not. We did not take first
no,
place.
No, we did not. We did not. Although there has been questions from our other teammate of if we're available and if we're interested. So,
well, I think we did do that. Yeah, I think we did. We played. I'm going to say we played. It was a great success. The Triviathon on one of our great stations, the home station, WRCO Richland Center, who had that last night on New Year's Eve. Of course, we talked about Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen on CNN, always fantastic. Zommers and I talked earlier this week. We were thinking about yesterday on New Year's Eve doing shots on the air. We thought that probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Well, here's what happened. I'm just going to tell you, your audiences at home played shots on the air.
Okay.
So they played along with you. Oh. And a couple of key words in your show yesterday, every time you said them, we took a shot. So we played along from home. It's all good.
I'm glad people played along from home. That's great. As we said, we're recording this a couple of days in advance, but what is great to have you here on our New Year's Day show, Heather. And you and I have been out there to Southern California. We have been witness to and been at the Rose Parade. And honestly, this is something that I've begun the last few years looking forward to as much as any other part of the holiday, is to sit in front of the TV if we can't be there in person and watch the Rose Parade. 136 years. You and I have been out there together before. We kind of unofficially called the Rose Parade. Our first year of this show, we used to be on in the morning, and Zomers was kind enough to come in the morning, and we actually called the parade on radio.
That was fun.
I thought that was fun, right?
That was a blast.
Yeah. But now our show is later, so it doesn't quite work. But what are some of your memories, best memories of the Rose Parade, Heather? And I know you've done a little homework about this year's parade, which I'm sure people can still see online. There'll be reruns throughout the day on TV as well.
Yeah. So when we went, first of all, it was just a family affair, right? So it was a lovely family trip with mom and my husband, Mike. And so you were able to go and be with friends in California and visit people out there. So that, to me, was just that family time. But being able to see these floats that you watch on TV your whole life, being able to see them in person blows your mind.
Yeah, it really does.
The details that they put into them and the work that they put into them, going through, was it a tour? Did we pay to go through the barns? I forget a donation.
You buy a ticket to go in the barns, the parade or the float barns, they call them, are actually big kind of warehouses right near the actual Rose Bowl proper. And you pay, you get a ticket, and you walk through with all kinds of other people, and you get really, really close to these floats. And some places they'll actually let you stop and cut some of the petals, because this is all live. Everything that we as home viewers or in person see has to be all live, or at one time, live foliage.
Yeah. The flower petals down to the seeds, down to the tiny things that really people will never actually see,
right,
are still there, hidden in there, that are all live products to create these beautiful floats. It's just incredible.
And they start, you know, whatever, in February or whatever of the year, right after one parade gets done, they start designing and engineers and whatnot. They're built on a chassis, for lack of a better word, a framework. And then they build the kind of the skeleton, and that goes on for months before the parade. And then it gets down to the last 2 weeks or so, and that's when they start constructing the actual float. And a lot of the actual flowers you see on TV are all done within 3 to 4 days before the actual parade. So it's hundreds of people working around the clock to get this done in time. And many of the individual flowers are an individual little, what do they call those? The vases things, the look like test tubes, basically.
Yeah.
And
the they little put water test tubes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They put those. So all those, a lot of those flowers are individual things they put into the float. So it's really incredible. And the artistic creation that goes into that is incredible. And if any of our audience ever gets an opportunity, would you agree, Heather? I would say I would go out again just for the parade, even if Wisconsin wasn't going to be in the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's not just the parade. I mean, there are things going on around the area in that block, in the, what is it, 5 mile parade, mm-hmm, whatever, that you can see happening all around the area. And it's just, it's really a festive place to be and excitement all over. So it doesn't matter whose team is playing, really.
Mm-hmm. No, Pasadena is a really, really cool town in Southern California, one of the suburbs of Los Angeles. So they take this very, very seriously. It's their biggest event of the year. It's a beautiful downtown area, beautiful farmers market. But boy, there is, and people, even if you say, well, you know, I'm a sports person. What would I like? I mean, now my compadres, Kurt and Florcy, went with me back in 19 going into 20. And we took my youngest godson, Jason, and right before everything shut down in 2020. But, you know, Kurt was like, you know, I'm okay. He's not a quote-unquote parade guy. But, boy, he came away as excited and enthused as anybody else. Like, wow, I had no idea that it was that. Because it's not like any other parade that I've ever seen.
No. And there are, it's not just the floats, right? There are the bands and the musicians coming through and then the live performers that are performing on the floats as they go through. And, you know, it's a little bit of everything.
I know we're talking to Heather Alval-Galloy, my lovely and talented sister, about the this year's Pasadena Tournament of Roses Parade, the 136th Rose Parade presented by Honda. You do a little work, Heather. Tell us about a couple of the entries in this year's Rose Parade. And by the way, it's called not to be, it's not the Rose Bowl Parade. They get very touchy up there. It's the Rose Parade. And then you have the Rose Bowl football game, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Right. Yeah. So the Rose Parade happened already this morning, but some of the highlighted floats that I think were just outstanding. Number one, the Enjoy Illinois float is titled Play Hooky in Illinois. And it has a Ferris Bueller Day Off platform and theme. And
that's
a huge Ferris Bueller fan, right? Mm-hmm. And it happened in Chicago and all that stuff. So the float was just really, really impressive with the Save Ferris and Wrigley Field, recognized on there and nice. Really cool spot. Cal Poly, here's what I'm going to tell you. Every year, I feel like Cal Poly is my favorite.
I know.
Bar none. I don't know why. They have a special spot in my heart. I believe that's the float that mom was able to cut the petals for when we went through the barns and kind of physically participate in. So I'm a little bit tied to it emotionally that way. But Cal Poly had Nessie's Lakeside Laughs. Nessie's Lakeside Laughs was the title of their float. So they had the Loch Ness Monster. Just beautiful demonstration there.
The Cal Poly float usually moves. There's usually some kind of movement with it. And what the cool thing is, when Kurt and Florcy and I went out, Kurt, of course, being the kind of the engineer science guy, he strikes up a conversation with these guys, and they're all kids. Well, I mean, young adults, but I mean, they're college students, unlike most of these floats who are professional float builders. These are full-time jobs. And unlike those units, the Cal Poly float is completely designed, engineered, and assembled by Cal Poly college students. Some of these kids don't sleep for like 40 hours leading up to the parade. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's really impressive. So, yeah, soft spot for them. But also the Kiwanis float. The Kiwanis. Their float was entitled Being Together. Being together with some cute little bumblebees on it. Very, very festive, very fun. The Trader Joe's float, I always feel is always super creative and festive and fun. They had a really cool float with a lot of different moving parts on it. It was really cool. And then here's what I'm going to tell you, because friends that know me know that I have a slight problem. I'm going to call right now my favorite float the Defying Gravity float.
A wicked float. By who? Who put that on? Who sponsored that one?
Wicked.
Oh, the movie itself? Wow.
The movie itself.
Was Ariana Grande on?
I can only wish. Here's the description. The Wicked float features the Witches of Oz, Glinda and Elphaba, taking flight with Emerald City at the center, surrounded by the spectacular rainbow-colored tulip fields of Munchkinland and the float design celebrating the film's spectacular environments and reminds us that everyone deserves a chance to fly.
Great description, 136th Rose Parade, presented by Honda. Come back to talk more about that in football with Heather after this.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within The Morning Show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
College football playoffs on ESPN and ABC. Who will be the national championship? It'll all be decided later tonight in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Welcome in, everybody, along with Kirk Herbstreit. No, no. Wrong script. I was reading the wrong script. Welcome into the Towel Ball Show of the Civic Media Radio Network. Well done, Mr. Zommers, on the board. Here, a happy new year to each and every one of you. My wonderful and talented sister, Heather Albaugh-Galloy, joins us here on our special New Year's Day broadcast. That, of course, is the theme of the college football playoffs, which are underway. We talked last segment about the 136th Rose Parade presented by Honda. Always a great parade. That is just finished up. And now we are into today's first game of the CFP, College Football Playoffs. And the first one up here today started just after noon was the ever-popular Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl featuring Texas taking on Arizona State. But first of all, Heather, how about that game last night in the Fiesta Bowl, the Verbo Fiesta Bowl last night, Penn State and Boise State? Woo! What a barn burner.
It was wild. Penn State. First of all, does Penn State really deserve to be in a bowl game at all? But
yes.
Let's be on that.
Yes.
Boise State.
They're the group of five.
Were they able to dye the field blue for the playoff game or no?
No, only in Boise State.
Oh, that's
only in Idaho. Sad. Now, of course, we're recording this show a couple of days in advance, so we don't actually know who won between Penn State and Boise State. I'm gonna say most likely if Boise State upset Penn State, I mean, we'll have a lot to talk about on tomorrow's show. But it was Penn State, of course. Penn State from the Big Ten in the as you said. You know, I think they deserved it just based on the record. The base, they had a good year this year, taking on Boise State, which was the group of five winner. But Boise State was ranked number three in terms of the playoff picture. Penn State, number six. And there's been a lot of talk moving into next year because the way they did it, they said every conference champion of the major conferences plus the group of five would get a bye in the first round. So you had Boise State as the group of five winner bye. You had Texas as the SEC championship get a bye. You had Oregon, now the Big Ten champion, get a bye. And who am I? I'm missing the Big 12. Arizona State got a bye as well. So there you go. That's, oh, I'm sorry. It was Georgia that got the bye in the SEC, not Texas, but Texas also in the SEC now. So I don't know. What do you want? I mean, you're a big football, you're a college sports fan, Heather. What are your feelings on this?
Well, I am, but here's where we need the brothers and sisters episode with the Ewing yeah, brothers.
Yes.
Because we need a little more insight, I think, because I'm not your professional knowledge person.
Well, no, you're an adamant fan.
College football
fan.
As a whole, I think, has just changed. And it's number one, it's more complicated with the playoff system. It's not, you know, conference champions play conference champions and that's it. Mm. And like, why do we have to, I feel, is it a little bit like everybody gets a ribbon? I don't know. How do we break this down?
Well, because we went from four, because the argument was, well, you get the four teams. If you only have a four-team playoff, then somebody, quote-unquote, gets left out that should have been in. This year, they had 12, and again, there was griping and groaning that, oh, well, Alabama got left out, and they should have been in, not SMU. So, I mean, I don't know if it can ever be – you're never going to make everybody happy. I do think that next year, there's already talk about this, that the seeding for the playoffs, which we're playing today, is going to be based on the final poll, you know, of the season. So 1, 2, 3, 4, regardless of whether they won their conference championship or not, would get the first round byes. And so you may end up having somebody who won their conference but have to play in the first round.
Right.
I think that's fair. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So anyway, it was Penn State versus Boise State last night in the Fiesta Bowl. Right now, going on, if you want to leave us and go watch it on ESPN, they'll love me for that. The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl pitting number 5 Texas against the Big 12 champion, number 4 Arizona State, of course, of the former Pac-12. First year in the Big 12 for Arizona State. They win the conference. Got the first round bye. I like Texas in that game, Heather. How about you?
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Texas for sure. But okay, here's another question. With all the sponsors in the bowl games,
yeah,
can we just pick one name? Why is it Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl? Is it the Chick-fil-A Bowl or is it the Peach Bowl? I don't know.
Because they want to keep the tradition of the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, right, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl. But to pay for them, they have to have names. Beyond, I get it, but Jack O'Neill, my old professor at Platteville, all comes down to the dollar sign.
And see, here we are into my territory complaining about how money makes names that make no sense.
But it's the, yeah. All right, well, you got to say it, though. It's the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. All right.
I know, fine.
And I'm not a big Chick-fil-A fan because they don't like to serve people like me. But that's a whole other kettle of fish. Anyway, then later tonight, this afternoon, our time, 5 p.m. Wisconsin time, will be, and this is the difference, the Rose Bowl hasn't written in. It's the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential.
As it should be.
Yes.
I like that.
I agree with that.
Give the bowl name and then fine. Yep. You're the people that are paying for it, but you're going to be behind the bowl name.
And for my money, this may be, I'm hoping, the best game of the day. It pits number 8, Ohio State against number 1, Oregon. Of course, Ohio State traditionally from the Big 10, Oregon formerly the Pac-12, now Oregon in the Big 10. So it's a rematch of the Big 10 championship game, which Oregon won.
Right. Yeah, this will be, I hope it is a really good game. Mm-hmm. This is like a tough call for me. I kind of think Oregon will probably win.
Yeah.
But I think Ohio State should win. Not that I'm an Ohio State fan. I don't like them either. So this is a tough call.
You think they should win based on their ability or just because you like them better?
Because they're an original Big Ten team. because I'm a Big Ten fan.
I know you are. You're wearing your
UW. Big Ten games, yeah. It should be the Big Ten winner.
All right. We'll come back, run down more of these college football playoffs with Heather Allball-Colloy. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy New Year.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
As we wind down the hours of 2024, the trading schedule is looking a tiny bit different today. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to tell us what that schedule is looking like moving into 2025.
But with that trading schedule today, regular schedule, basically all the way through until the typical close this afternoon for the grains and the livestock markets. So that's 105 on cattle and hogs, and on the grain side, we're down at 120 today, just like we typically are. But then there's no night trade tonight, no trade at all tomorrow. No night trade again going into Thursday. And then Thursday morning, we start fresh at 8:30 in the morning to kick off 2025.
With the markets not reopening until Thursday after the end of the day today, we are going to just have to wait and see how the new year will treat us as we enter into 2025. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at the final midday market reading of 2024. As of right now, it looks like the markets are going to be nice to us as we head into the new year, with cash crop corn up 4.5 at 456¾, and new crop corn up 4 at 443. January soybeans are up 10¾ at 992¾, and November soybeans are up 8¾ at 1017. March wheat is up 2 at 550¼, and July wheat is up 1.5 at 567¾. January Class 3 milk contracts are also looking good, as they are up 28 cents at 2071 a hundredweight, although unfortunately February Class 3 milk contracts are down 2 cents at 2065 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Happy New Year! I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A colder start to 2025 with mostly cloudy skies, but on the breezy side as well, with temperatures falling into the lower 20s by late in the day. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low near 14. Partly sunny on Thursday with a high near 21. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
My husband and I love an exciting adventure, especially in a stylish SUV. The first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek is meant to be shown off with its all-terrain tires for rocky trails and snowy roads. Its tubular roof rack for hauling gear, and its rugged flair that stands out off-road. Adventure calls in the first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek. Head to NissanUSA.com to see it today. Intelligent all-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Cargo and load capacity limited by weight and distribution. Always secure cargo. Heavy loading of the vehicle with cargo, especially on the roof, will affect the handling and stability of the vehicle.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pasadena. Good evening, everybody. Brett Musburger along with Kurt Herbstreit. That's what it was supposed to sound like. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. Here on this New Year's Day, Happy New Year to everybody. We appreciate you. Heather Allball-Galloy joins me. Zommer's on the board. That was a song that you, unless you are like Heather and I that listen to No Shoes Radio on Sirius XM, that is a song you will not hear very often. It's called This Is Our Moment. And as the story goes, I heard Brent Musburger tell this one time. I believe he was a guest host on No Shoes Radio because Musburger used to do the Saturday night games of Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN. And so Kenny Chesney was having a dinner somewhere with Herbstreit and Brent Musburger, and they started kicking this around, kind of like Monday Night Football song. And you know, wouldn't it be cool to have like our own song for Saturday Night Football at ESPN? And so Chesney like takes out a pen at the dinner table, and the three of them write this song, This Is Our Moment. And they recorded it, and it got pitched to Disney, ABC, ESPN, whoever. And somewhere along the way, it got killed. And I think it's a great tragedy. What say you?
That's disappointing.
You're not nearly as upset about this as I am.
Well, I mean, it's a good song.
Right.
It would have worked out well, I think. It would have been a hit for him. But
yeah. This is our moment. It's kind of like, you know, almost like one shiny moment. You know,
this is our moment.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
But anyway, but tonight, this afternoon, all these college athletes, all these guys in college football trying to make it their moment. Right now on ESPN, it is Texas taking on Arizona State in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl game. And then this afternoon on ESPN, right after that game, number 8, Arizona State taking on number 1, Oregon in the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential. Then tonight, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl starting at 8:45 Eastern time. That would be 7:45 Wisconsin time. It is number 7, Notre Dame taking on number 2, the Georgia Bulldogs. Heather, who do you like in that?
Notre Dame.
Whoa, just like that.
Calling it.
I think you actually could be right. I really do.
Yeah.
I think that Georgia, their main quarterback, got hurt. He announced he's going to go into the portal and or the draft. And I don't know. I like who now I'm blanking on the coach, Freeman, the coach for Notre Dame. Great guy. And
yeah. And
here's a hitherto unknown fact. As our former Heather and I both share the fact that Ken Lewis was our former teacher, hitherto unknown facts, the coach at Notre Dame used to be the offensive coordinator for who? Want to take a guess?
The Badgers.
Yes, for Luke Fickell.
Yeah, for Fickell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, I've caught a couple of games or like ends of games this year, and Notre Dame looks good. Like, I mean, they've had some. Yeah.
Marcus Freeman. I apologize to Coach Freeman. Marcus Freeman. I saw a profile. It might have been 60 Minutes. They did a profile of Marcus Freeman. He's like the real deal. The guy gets up at like 4:30 in the morning. He's adamant about working out. He's super positive. First time he'd ever been a head coach. His first head coaching job is at Notre Dame, one of the most iconic first person of color coach of color at Notre Dame and getting the job done. So I would not be surprised to see Notre Dame upset Georgia tonight.
Yeah, but that's great. I'm behind it.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. All right. What else we got here? And then coming up on Thursday will be then the semifinal, the Capital One Orange Bowl on Thursday night, which will be the Fiesta Bowl winner taking on the Sugar Bowl winner, and then the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic on January 10th on Friday at 6:30 in the evening, which will be the Peach and the Rose Bowl winners taking on each other, and then Monday, January 20th, the National Championship. Good Lord, National Championship game not till the 20th they had to push the Super Bowl back in the NFL for this. I'm serious.
No, see, this is ridiculous.
I know.
No. They need somebody to just come in there and tell them, no, that's not how we're going to do it.
What we need is a teacher like you, a public school teacher that just says,
we're drawing it out. We're making it too. No, mm-mm, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I like it done by the first week in January. College football is done.
Well, I think you got to go. I mean, the old system, you had to go to at least the second week to get the national championship game. But now that you have 12 teams in the field, and if you want to preserve the bowl games, that's all another kettle of fish, right? The bowl games, which have kind of got diluted. But here were my two favorite bowl games. And I only caught snippets of them during the bowl season. Your Pop-Tarts Bowl, which had dancing Pop-Tarts and the mascots, live people in Pop-Tart mascot costumes. And the losing Pop-Tart had to be toasted and then comes out the bottom as an actual Pop-Tart. And the winning team eats the Pop-Tart, eats the mascot.
Right?
That was fun.
I love it.
And then,
that was fun.
And then the Snoop Dogg Bowl, which I really enjoyed as well. And Snoop Dogg, he insisted that every player get NIL money in the Snoop Dogg Bowl. So everybody that played the Snoop Dogg.
Oh, really?
Yes. Everybody that played in the Snoop Dogg Bowl went home with some cheese.
Some dog bone?
Yeah, something. Yeah, they went home with some bone. If they're flying on the plane, they better be careful, but they went home with something. Yeah. So, I mean, but, I think the bowl season is kind of lost a little bit now that we have all these playoffs. But
yeah,
I don't know. And, of course, our beloved Wisconsin Badgers, not in the postseason this year. Not in the postseason.
I just, after 22 years, really? You can't even make the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Well, that's a big one. I mean, it's more like the Music City or the Pinstripe or the Duke's Mayo.
The Water Tower Bowl. I don't know. Whatever you got.
We'll take a bowl.
We'll take a bowl.
And boy, look at Wisconsin's record or Wisconsin's schedule next year.
Oh, I haven't. I don't want to.
You haven't looked at it?
No.
At Alabama.
Oh.
I believe at Oregon. We host Ohio State. And Michigan, by the way, at Michigan. You have Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Oregon, plus, Iowa, Minnesota.
Well, here's my question. Are we going to have a football team to play in those games?
Right?
Are we going to have enough guys? If we only have 8 guys on the team next year, it's not going to look very pretty. By the way, with no quarterback.
Right.
Well, apparently, we got 8 guys and no quarterback.
Well, this transfer portal and everything is crazy. And we're going to talk about this next time Brady Ewing comes on.
Yeah.
But the Miami coach for basketball just hung it up this last week because he said that Miami went to the Final Four in college basketball last year.
Yeah.
Last year. And he said he walked into the locker room, though, the next time he got together with the guys after the Final Four, like 10 of his guys had put into the transfer portal from a Final Four team. And he said, do you not like it here? What's going on? And they said, no, we love it. You're great. But all these other schools offered us more money.
Because they were a Final Four team.
Exactly.
right? Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And again, zero loyalty, zero team cohesiveness. I don't, it's all me, me, me. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Well, I do. Again, it's all about the dollar sign. And we've talked with Brady Ewing, with Brandon Ewing, that there's going to have to be some sort of regulation by the NCAA. And most likely, it's going to take congressional action, law, to put some sort of guardrails or parameters. Because right now, in college athletics, it's the Wild West. It's unregulated. It's a free-for-all. And I heard one speculation that they may take things to court and allow, instead of having certain times of the year where athletes could go into the transfer portal, they may just say, you could go into the transfer portal at any time and play immediately.
No.
I'm serious. This is some.
No. See, it needs to be, you get one transfer.
Right.
And when you transfer, you have to wait a season to play.
That's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
And of course, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. But if it went to the courts again and they found the way that I just said, you could have a guy start on one team and by halftime say, I don't like how this is going, and go in the locker room and change uniforms and come out and play for the other team. I'm not kidding.
Give me a jersey.
Coach. Right. I want to be on the winning side. I mean, how it's like, you know, saying you're going to defect from Cuba. I'm not going home. I'm staying at this university now.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
Yeah. No, it's changed how the players play. And it certainly has changed my opinion as a fan, how I watch them.
Totally agree. And this is to take nothing away from the student athletes, which at this level now, the student part is less of than the athlete. Because, I mean, I know somebody said this. Actually, I think Lou Holtz said this recently. But for some of these guys and gals are transferring 4 and 5 times within their academic eligibility period. How can you have any seriousness about pursuing a 4-year degree when you're transferring every 8 to 10 months?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't keep up academically and do that. No way.
And look, most of, very few athletes, male or female, make it to a Division I school. An even smaller percentage of those ever make it into professional sports. And then once you get to professional sports, even fewer last 10 years in their, right, in their given sport. So the value of a college degree, whenever your professional sports career is over, you're going to fall back. That's going to be your bread and butter for the vast majority of these student athletes.
There are very few LeBron Jameses out there who started in the NBA at what, 17, 18, yep, and just turned 40.
As it turns out, very few. Yeah. Don't have a lot of Bronny Jameses.
No.
We better stop trying to name NBA athletes before we get in trouble. we had the theme song in our house over Christmas was a very white Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. we were stumped on names, but we got there. We got there eventually.
We got there.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been, we have one more segment left, Heather. Can you stick around one more segment?
Sure.
She's sitting there drinking her whatever she's drinking on this New Year's Day here on this 1st of January 2025. What are Heather's New Year's resolutions? Does she have resolutions? Does Todd have a resolution? I don't know. We'll see. Watch a little college football. You'll feel better at least. Put your feet up and listen to some Kenny Chesney. Back with more on this New Year's Day edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is our moment. This is our time. This is our moment. This is our time.
Radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year's? New Year's Eve.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour. Coming up at hour number 2, more of our reflections here on a New Year's Day. New Year's Eve last night. Hopefully you had a good New Year's Eve last night. Everything was safe. Everything was good. Watched a little CNN. Listened to WRCO, a little trivia-thon. Phil Nee, everybody there. Maybe you listened to, who was it on WRJN Summers? Was having a New Year's Eve special as well.
Lou Regani.
Yes, Lou Regani with the stars. And some Christmas New Year's Eve music there. So joining me on this show, Heather Albaugh Galloy, my lovely and talented sister, who, by the way, you got some love earlier this week when we were talking about you being on the show. And Andrew in Maine said your favorite assistant, Heather Albaugh. Big fan.
Or a sister is what he said.
A sister, yeah. Instead of assistant.
Nice.
Yeah. So you have fans. Nice. You have fans.
Well, that's nice to hear. Thank you so much. It's always fun to come on and be goofy.
Oh, absolutely. It's basically just like putting a microphone at the kitchen table, but
I wouldn't recommend that.
Maybe not quite.
As we discovered, was it just yesterday at Dad's house? What did Isabel call us?
The two mupplers, Statler and Waldorf.
They say, Statler and Waldorf.
My niece said of my sister and I, you two are like those two old Muppets that laugh up on the balcony, but nobody else knows what you're laughing about. And we said, no!
But I guess we're the only ones that think we're funny, but that's okay.
But that's okay. Mm-hmm. So today, first day of January 2025, it's a brand new year. I don't know why it is. I usually do better in odd years, personally.
Well, then here you go.
I guess
here's your chance.
This is my year. Are you a New Year? I'm not sure we've ever talked about this. Are you a New Year's resolutioner?
Not so much that like I put it out there.
All right.
You know, there are
You're a quiet resolutioner.
I'm a quiet resolutioner. Like, these are the things I hope to do better at. These are the things that I hope to focus on more. But I'm not like a hard, I'm going to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to make another extra $10,000. I'm going to, you know, like.
Right.
No.
I'm so if you do something, you could say, well, that was on my New Year's resolution list.
Well, like, there you accomplished
it. And if it doesn't happen, well, nobody knows.
It's kind of the same way I make to-do lists. I make the list of things I have to do. And then at the bottom, I put make a list. And then I check it off and say, look how good I am.
I'm going to steal that.
That's pretty good, right?
Positive reinforcement, right?
Anything you'd like to put out there into the universe, anything that you're hoping, maybe not a resolution, but, well, that would be nice to-do list.
Yeah, I mean, so here are generally the things that I really try to do better all the time. And really, I don't necessarily like the New Year's resolution piece, because then it's like a start date and then you get about 2 weeks in and it's done.
Yeah.
So it's just a continual, these are the things I always like to be thinking about and try to do better at.
Right.
Number one is try to find the positive in situations that may not feel positive.
I like that.
Yeah, because there are a lot of times where it's real easy to get super negative and down on things. And it's like, well, okay, but this could have been worse, or this actually helped this happen. And so there is always, you know, the silver lining, I guess, is the easy way to put it.
That's really good.
Finding those.
I like that. Anything else?
And I mean, the general eat better, move more, do better, you know, that's a constant.
But I have to do that this year because I've been getting on the scale and it ain't pretty. You understand it's not pretty. And I'm like, I have got to put it, like Barney Fife, nip it, Andy. You got to nip it in the bud. So, I mean, I'm not going to be like over the top, like, oh, I'm giving up sugar. You know, I have to quit. I have to plan better. I have to buy better. And I have to make time for myself in 2025, because that's what I'm not doing.
I'm 100% behind that. Todd needs to make time for himself.
I'm behind that too.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Appreciate the support of you both. It's not like I ballooned to 300 pounds, but I mean, you know, I've put on almost 15, health. Like between 10 and 15 pounds, depending upon the day, from like 2 years ago. That ain't good.
Well,
I can't be doing that forever. And so,
and as our good friend Kira likes to discuss too, being a woman in your 50s, the whole menopause situation, that's crap. I'm just saying. So that's reality and no fun at all.
Heather had to step outside during a hot flash over Christmas. So. But it works.
It's real.
It's real.
It's real.
Well, I think,
I think our generation is the generation that's going to be like, why has nobody talked about this before? And it needs to be discussed because things are happening and no one, you know, I feel like our mom was very open about things, right? She was a really good communicator.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that older generation did not talk about this at all. And I think our generation is like, we're calling BS and people need to know.
You sound like Dr. Lyerly. She'd love that. She'd be all over that. Absolutely.
Right.
Good for you. Well, Heather, I love you. Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us. And best of everything in 2025.
And you as well. You as well. I look forward to it. Good things are happening. That's good.
Good things are happening. And one of our favorite, you've seen him in person, little Harry Connick Jr. taking us to the break. We'll come back with hour two at our special New Year's Day show, January 1st, 2025, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let's switch channels this show.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. 10 people were killed, at least 35 injured, when a truck plowed into a group of people early this morning in New Orleans. The man driving the truck then fired on officers, injuring two. Jim Moore is a tourist.
We did hear gunfire, saw police running that direction. We stayed in the alcove until the gunfire stopped.
Police say they killed the driver. The FBI now says an Islamic State group flag was found in the pickup. This veteran used his training to help the victims.
Being a Marine Corps vet, it felt like, you know, back in Iraq again. You know, just jumping right in, just seeing the people and everything laying down, not knowing exactly what to do. So at that moment, I just had to do what I needed to do, just go right back into my training and try to see who people that I can actually help.
CBS News national security contributor Sam Vinograd.
These attacks, perpetrators know, are likely to inflict maximum damage and likely to get a lot of attention.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join us live every